Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Oh boy. And welcome to the Urban Village. We're a community. Through the old school house party on a Friday is alive and well. Well, we knew it was coming, or I knew it was coming. Let me speak for myself. Leaking sort of the pre-documents about Roe v. Wade, I knew the decision to strike it down was near. Let's see what happens out of it. But what people don't understand is Roe v. Wade, in reference to a woman's reproductive rights, is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. The language in the case that led to striking down Roe v. Wade, look, these mofos from Clarence Thomas on down have plans. And that's why I have said repeatedly, Clarence Thomas should be impeached. Really, him and his wife should be indicted and arrested. And Biden should have put on and stacked the configuration of the court. But at the very least, you need to get rid of Clarence Thomas. Now he says that gay rights is next up on the block. I don't know. But you notice he didn't strike down Loving versus United States about interracial couples. Wonder why. Him and that thing he's married to. But anyway, you know, people are really upset. But I'm like, you knew this was coming. You knew it was coming. So what can we expect? Well, already certain states are trying to outlaw a woman's right. Not outlaw, they did outlaw it. I mean, there were literally women waiting in Planned Parenthood waiting rooms for services, abortions primarily, and they were told, can't do it, it's done. So now it's going to be up to the states, certain states, to try to protect a woman's rights, right? But then there are other states who are going to use this opportunity to roll back everything. It's only the beginning. And while we sit on our hands and talk, you know, talk madness about things that really don't damn matter, you know, again, Republicans, conservatives have showed you what they gonna do. And I'm just really very, very frustrated with Democrats, you know, and just talking. It's time to be in action. It's time to be in a sense, a heightened sense of awareness. Because it's got to stop. You got to stop being verbose and getting on the Congress floor and the Senate floor talking about motions. You're going to have to really get the citizenship, the citizenry together, because people are way too comfortable in their perches and they're not willing to get out of that perch. They're not willing to give up the goodies that they have really over the years received. You know, I thought Alexandra Cortez Ocasio was the most bold, but see, people say she talks too much. But the get down, it's gotta happen. Let's take a listen to a few things that came out of Roe v. Wade this morning.
Reaction from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle from this. We know that the Senate Judiciary Committee is planning to meet next week when lawmakers return from the July 4th recess to discuss what they describe as the grim reality, in their view, according to the Democratic chairman, in this post-Roe world.
Yeah, but just because this is where the fight goes next doesn't mean that the fight is really going anywhere, because Democrats in the Senate tried to codify federal protections for abortion access back in May. The House managed to pass passed that bill, the Women's Health Protection Act, but the Senate didn't. They didn't have the votes either. Not even all Democrats were aligned on that. And that's why what's happened today is so striking, because Julia mentions the point that people knew this was coming. It doesn't lessen the rage that I have seen and heard from lawmakers who are texting me, who I am seeing here in the halls. And Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez exhibits that nicely. I'll show you what she said earlier.
What the Supreme Court just did was that they chose to endanger the lives of all women and all birthing people in this country. But not only that, they've chosen to strip rights from men too. Because, frankly, the right to our own bodies and the right to form our families, this is something that belongs to all of us. And it does not belong to lawmakers. It does not belong to 9 Supreme Court justices.
And Hallie, I think it's really important that she makes this point that it's not just a one gender issue here. This is something that impacts women and men alike, this right to be able to access abortion. I do think that the larger message here in the halls of Congress is that because they are so hamstrung on what they can tangibly do, the fight then moves to November. It's something that nearly
moves to November. The fight moves to November. But what does that mean for us, right? What does that mean? Do we wait to see and vote for something to take and be midstream? Don't know. No one knows. No one knows. And I'm so, so angry and upset by this. You know, I'm thinking about Clarence Thomas after they gave the Supreme Court's verdict on the case, the Mississippi case, and how he was just so arrogant. It was like he was posturing. Well, you know what? Next, we need to look at gay rights. Next, we need to look at civil rights and affirmative action. He's just a fat, ugly, miserable monster. Him and his so-called wife. And what gets me is, They have them going and trying to overthrow the government, and he gets to sit on the Supreme Court? Come on. We should be blowing up Biden's phone number. We should be blowing up, finding his, we should just be in a rage and a knot demanding that this man be impeached. At the very least, him and his wife be indicted. It's just the Supreme Court is a joke. It is a joke. And now it's not just moving, getting rid of 50-year-old Roe v. Wade. They're going back to the 1700s in this country. Just white men. Just white men.
Today is a very heavy day for so many of us across the country. Every single one of us has woken up today with less rights than we had yesterday. And pregnant people in particular are in more danger in the United States today than we were yesterday as a result of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. I think what we're experiencing here, it's important to tell the truth of what's going on. And with so many individuals out here, I think it's important for us to also tackle this myth that this is somehow about babies or children or life. Because the same individuals who purport, claim to be protecting life, fight against universal health care. Do they believe in universal child care? Do they believe in life after birth? From their policy positions, I assure you, the evidence is lacking. A life that claims to be protecting the lives of children, or rather, a party and individuals who claim to protect the lives of children just weeks after over a dozen children died in Texas, now claim to support their life, the lives of the young. single one of us in danger. And what I think many of our colleagues perhaps haven't quite, or perhaps they have, fully understood is that this also undermines the right to privacy in the United States of America. But we are here to solve this issue. Our job is to develop a path forward. And in that, we know that this House has passed and is willing to codify Roe. But what we also need is answers from our colleagues in the United States Senate. So to those senators who voted for these justices under the claim and the guise that this would not happen, this decision falls on them. What will they do? As they were lied to. What will they do as a consequence of this decision? Whether that be Republican or Democrat. But we cannot allow this to go on unanswered. We are talking about a court of with the majority of justices appointed by a party that has not won a popular presidential election more than once in 30 years. Ruling against the majority of Americans. We have a Senate that is controlled by minority rule. And we have a House suffering from the impacts of gerrymandering that amplifies and undermines our democracy. We are in a very dangerous moment, not just for women, not just for LGBT communities, not just for all of us, but we are in a dangerous moment in the world because this is not just about the right to choice. This is about rule of law and democracy and who is a full person in the eyes of the law.
Well, I think the Congresswoman hit it just right. It endangers us all. We're all at risk. Women, Black people, you name it, we're at risk. We can dream on, but you know, someone made a really interesting report today, and pointed out that the January 6th insurrection and attempted coup, you know, it's never been, it was Flame Monroe, the stand-up comedian Flame Monroe, who said, "You know what, Black people, you need to get with it. If you were so worried about women," and he was saying because he's a transgendered man, he said, if you were so, and they were complaining that, you know, how, you know, this is, it wasn't us as women. He said, don't even try it. You didn't stand with women. And if women cannot have adequate reproductive services, health services, there will be no LGBTQ. There will be no anyone. You know, it's like these are the same people who supposedly wanted to make sure that every fetus lived immediately. But those are the same people that will incarcerate, enslave, murder, kill, maim. Once you're born, give me a break. Give me a break. This is about white supremacy. This is about staying in positions of power. And we let it happen. Every single American citizen that really is scared about this should be like hitting up the White House email, blowing up Biden's, the number to the White House. And when I say blow up, I don't mean literally blow up. I mean, it's an expression meaning call. Overly call. We should be doing these things. We should be doing these things because this is going to be bad. Really bad for us. And we just keep playing. We just keep playing. We just keep playing ourselves. I'm trying to understand. And it becomes increasingly more difficult. Don't keep looking for someone else. And the point I was making about the January 6th is that they had LGBTQ people involved in that madness, just so you know. Because it's not about LBG. That's the game. They played with the gay movement. That's the game. That's not what their real concern is. Their concern is in white dominance. And taking away anything that we have. As I said before, and I'm saying it again, we are in the third reconstruction in this country. And we are sitting as Nero fiddles on his violin, and it is burning down. We need to put the fire out. We need to reclaim our communities, our village, our families, and we need to support and work with one another. We have a very small window of time, to correct these things. Because there's something afoul here. We need to wake up. As I always say in closing, the story is never told until the lion, yes, the lion is a storyteller, and the hunter is not. This has been a Brown Bear, Reggie Valens, Don Carter, Patrick Bolden, and my Bevy, Bev Riley production. Want to read something about the struggle, about the past, the 60s, and the women who changed the world? Read Claretta Street. Available at bookstores everywhere.